Gopi Janna Balabha Giribhada Dhari Gopi Janna Balabha Giribhada Dhari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Yashoda Nandana Braja Janna Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Braja Janna Ranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Gopi Janna Balabha Giribhada Dhari Gopi Janna Balabha Giribhada Dhari Yashoda Nandana Braja Janna Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Braja Janna Ranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Vishnupad Paramahansa, Parivraj, Kacharya, Stotra, Zata, Sri, Srimad, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta, Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai. Jai, Nityalila, Pravishtam, Vishnupad Paramahansa, Parivraj, Kacharya, Stotra, Zata, Sri, Srimad, His Divine Grace Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada ki jai. Guru Parampara ki jai. Sad Goswami ki jai. Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda ki jai. Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur ki jai. Prem Sikaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda ki jai. Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath Shamakunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan ki jai. Vrindavan Maturadam ki jai. Mayapur Navadvip Dham ki jai. Jagannath Puri Dham ki jai. Ganga Mai ki jai. Yamuna Mai ki jai. Bhakti Devi ki jai. Tulsi Devi ki jai. Harinam Sankirtan ki jai. Brihat Mridanga Transcendental Book Distribution ki jai. Sri Sri Rukmini Dwaraka Disha ki jai. Jagannath Baladev Subhadra ki jai. Sri Sri Gaur Nitai ki jai. Gaur Premanandi. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. Om Gyanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Narayanam Namaskritya. Narang Chaiva Narottamam. Devim Saraswatim Vyasim. Tato Jayam Udirayet. So we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 14, Text Number 19. Yang Ahuratmano Hyardhang Shreyas Kamas Yamanini Yasyam Swaduram Adhyasya Pumang Charati Vijvara Yang Ahuratmano Hyardhang Shreyas Kamas Yamanini Yasyam Swaduram Adhyasya Pumang Charati Vijvara Yamahuratmano Hyardham Shreyas Kamas Yamanini Yasyang Swadu Duram Adhyasya Pumang Charati Vijvara. Yamanini Yasyam Swaduram Adhyasya Ti Vijvara Yatano Hyardham Shreyas Kamas Yamanini Yasyam Saduram Adhyasya Pumans Charati Vijvara Ahuratmano Hyardham Shreyas Kamasya Manini Yasya Saduram Adhyasya Pumans Charati Vijvara Yamahur Yatmano Yarnham. Shreyas Kamas Yamanini. Yasyam Saduramadhyasya. Pumang Charati Vijvara. Shreyas Kamas Yamanini. Yasyam Svaduram Adhyasya. Humang Charati Vijvara. Ladies. Yang Ahur Atmano Yardhang. Shreyas Kamas Yamanini. Yam Saduram Adhyasya. Humang Charati Vijvara. Yang Ahuratmano Yardhang. Shreyas Kamas Yamanini. Yasyam Saduram Adhyasya. Humang Charati Vijvara. Yam, the wife who, Ahu, is said, Atmana, of the body, he, thus, Ardham, hath, Shreya, welfare, Kamasya, of all desires, Manini, O respected one, Yasyam, in whom Swaduram, all responsibilities, Adhyasya, entrusting, Puman, a man, Charati, moves, Vijvara, without anxiety. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. Or, O respected one, a wife is so helpful that she is called the better half of a man's body because of her sharing in all auspicious activities. A man can move without anxiety, entrusting all responsibilities to his wife. Purport. By the Vedic injunction, the wife is accepted as the better half of a man's body because she is supposed to be responsible for discharging half of the duties of the husband. A family man has a responsibility to perform five kinds of sacrifices called pancha yagya in order to get relief from all kinds of unavoidable sinful reaction incurred in the course of his affairs. When a man becomes qualitatively like the cats and dogs, he forgets his duties in cultivating spiritual values, and thus he accepts his wife as a sense gratificatory agency. When the wife is accepted as a sense gratificatory agency, personal beauty is the main consideration. And as soon as there is a break in personal sense gratification, there is disruption or divorce. But when husband and wife aim at spiritual advancement by mutual cooperation, there is no consideration of personal beauty or the disruption of so-called love. In the material world, there is no question of love. Marriage is actually a duty performed in mutual cooperation as directed in the authoritative scriptures for spiritual advancement. Therefore, marriage is essential in order to avoid the life of cats and dogs who are not meant for spiritual enlightenment. Yang ahur atmano hyardham shreyas kamasya manani yasyam swaduram adhyasya pumang charati vijvara. O respectful one, a wife is so helpful that she is called the better half of a man's body because of her sharing in all auspicious activities. A man can move without anxiety in trusting all responsibilities to his wife. Namam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shumate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nityanane Tidevi Gaudavani Pracharane Nirvishishasamadani Pashtatradeshadani. So, like in many things, we find that the origin is in Vedic civilization. So we all have heard perhaps at some point in time throughout our life that the wife is the better half of the husband. So the origin is right here in the Srimad Bhagavatam in Vedic literature. So everything originates in Vedic culture. Everything originates in Vedic civilization. And the whole social conception of life is given in Vedic civilization also, because Veda is manifesting from the breathing of the personality of Godhead. And basically, these are the codes by which all mankind in any part of the universe, all living entities, guide their existence. And by following those codes, those guidelines given by the Vedic scriptures, by the Vedic authorities, the Shastras, the Gurus, Acharyas, then life will lead to the proper destination. There is a destination, there is a goal, there is a purpose to life. But most people are unfortunately lost in illusion and forgetfulness, misunderstanding of what that purpose is. And somehow or other, you can include us at one point, we were completely misled, had no idea what the purpose of life was, just plodding along day after day from one thing to another, one type of sense gratification to another. Prabhupada calls the advancement of material civilization as the progress of Maya. It's not actually progress. It's not actually moving forward. It looks like it's moving forward. We've got better cars, better television sets, better phones, better ways of communicating, and it's supposed to make life simpler, and more types of enjoyment are there, and entertainment and sports and all these things, and it's just an endless fever to progress and to enjoy our bodies, basically enjoy our senses. And as soon as that disappears, COVID comes along, some tragedy comes along, it all ends, it's finished. There's no more enjoyment. And then people are sitting there wondering what to do. What's it all about? Wasn't there a song like that? What's it all about, Charlie, or something like that? Huh? Alfie, yeah, right. What's it all about, Alfie? Or Mick Jagger, can't get no satisfaction. Yeah, he was right back then. But he, I guess he forgot his own song. Didn't find the answers. So this is the whole material world. It doesn't matter whether you're going to the heavenly planets or there are areas of the hellish planets, not hellish planet, but hellish regions, which are extremely opulent and full of pleasures. Doesn't matter where you go, from highest planet, lowest planet, middle planet, Earth, Bhumandala, this mandala, that loka, whatever. They're all basically places of misery wherein repeated birth and death takes place. You cannot escape the reality. Doesn't matter if you have a lifespan of millions of years, billions of years, like Lord Brahma. You simply cannot escape death, misery, suffering, birth, death, old age, disease. We preach like that to people when we go out. We tell people from our books, from practical reality. People say, oh, you're so negative. You're pessimistic. You're negative. But actually, we're realistic. We're realists. And until one gets the sense of what reality is, you can't inquire, practically speaking. It's very difficult for someone to inquire as to the purpose of life unless he's getting some kind of a beating. So that's where we find that, beating. I remember, I can't remember it exactly, but I won't say it. But we're being beat by Maya, beaten down by Maya, and we're just not waking up. Most people are not waking up. My mother is 95 years old. Her body is giving in. Every day is something else wrong with her body. Her eyes, her ears, her nose, her stomach, her legs, this, that, the other. But does she ever ask me, so what's Krishna consciousness about? No, after 50 plus years, she still doesn't ask me, what is Krishna consciousness? She's suffering like crazy. All she wants to do is die. At that point of life, you cannot even move your physical body. All you want to do is die. I have a godbrother, Satyaraj. You know Satyaraj. His mother just passed away a couple months ago. She was 103. She had nothing left in life. She could hardly hear, hardly see. You know, by some medical miracles, her body kept going till she was 103 years old. But she just wanted to die. She didn't even want to live anymore. So people are not waking up. Maya is so strong. You know the example Prabhupada gives, that Maya is like this, like the donkey owner. In order to prod his donkey to move forward to carry the big load in the cart, he dangles the carrot. Prabhupada gave very simple, practical examples to show material life. This is a donkey is dangling a carrot in front of the donkey to get it to move. The donkey moves forward thinking he's going to get the carrot every step, but the carrot is staying in the same place. But he's so dumb, he just keeps moving. He's thinking, I'm going to get it. Next, I'm going to get it. No, next step, I'll get it. But he doesn't get it. Or he gets it, but then it's all over. It's finished. And then he does it again. He dangled the carrot in front of his face, and he does the same thing, carries a 1,000-pound load in the cart, and does it again. So this is the nature of material existence, and our illusion in material existence is so strong that even though we keep getting beat down, reminded that we're not the enjoyers, that there's suffering at every step, actually, we just keep thinking, the next thing, if I get a bigger this or a better that I'll be happy. And we're never happy. Because as soon as you get it, then you're thinking, oh, I thought I was going to be happy. But you're not happy. Why? I'm not happy. I guess I need something else. I must need this. Or I don't like this house. I need a better house or a bigger house. There's a wonderful story. Prabhupada gives the example of the sadhu who's, maybe I'm not remembering exactly, but the sadhu he's meditating in the forest, and what is the story, Maharaj? Remember that story? Then how does it go? He keeps wanting one thing after another. Oh, yes. Yeah, that's how, right. Yeah. Just people start bringing him things, and in order to take care of the things, he needed this, that, and the other, and then he needed a wife, and then in order to get the wife, maintain the wife, he needed a cow in order to get milk, to sell, to make money, to maintain, and then he needed a house, and one thing after the other, and then finally he realized all these things I thought I needed. I was very happy just meditating in the forest. Simple. Of course, this is a little... We do have Vedic Grihastha Ashram, so that's what these verses are about. Maitreya Muni is speaking to Vidura and Diti, the wife of Kashyapa, is requesting to beget a child. So there are authorized ways of doing things. But, you know, in the ultimate sense, when it comes, when it boils down to material life, there's no happiness. But there is, in spiritual life, in the Grihastha Ashram, the husband and wife as a team serving the Lord, then it becomes spiritual. It becomes transcendental. It's a whole different thing. And the whole raising children to become Krishna conscious, that's what the Grihastha Ashram is for. You're saving a child, another jiva, from the cycle of birth and death, raising him with proper knowledge, proper education, proper training, doing the best you can. They may not go for it. You don't know. That's not your responsibility. But at least you've given it the best shot. But that's spiritual Grihastha Ashram, not Grihamedi life. So what I was talking about, cats and dogs, Prabhupada says, that's the Grihamedi, if even that. So I wanted to bring up one other topic in relationship to this that our Hari Parshad mentioned the other day in his lecture. He was talking about lust, and because we're reading about, you know, Diti's lustful propensity, she didn't wait to the proper time for conception with her husband, so she was influenced by lust. And the origin of lust, we hear about that. Well, we're all infected by lust and desire. So what is the origin? And it's explained very nicely in the Brahma Samhita, the origin. But, you know, we know the origin of lust is the desire to enjoy, and it's a perverted reflection of love of God. When love of God becomes perverted, turned around from the Lord, when we become averse to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and desire to what's called in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, I heard these first in Maharaja's readings, Viparyayo Smriti. You remember those words? Okay. And then Viparyayo Smriti. Lord Chaitanya uses these two words in his instructions to Sanatan Goswami and also, I think, Rupa Goswami. It means being the competitor of God. This is the disease that we have as conditioned souls, Baddha Jiva, eternally conditioned souls, is we want to compete with the Supreme Enjoyer, Rukmini Dwarkadish. They are the supreme enjoyers. Krishna is the enjoyer. Radharani is providing him the enjoyment, serving Dwarkadish. And we as conditioned souls, we want to compete with that. So that's why we come to the material world. And that's where the origin of lust is, in this competitive spirit that we want to be the enjoyer. And therefore we grasp at all kinds of pleasures, sometimes doing it through scriptural authority even, or without scriptural authority. But it's basically all formed after this desire for enjoyment. So how does this come about? It is explained nicely in this verse of Brahma Samhita, chapter, text number 8. And I'm going to read it to you. because this is how it becomes reflected in the conditioned souls of the material world. I'll just read the translation. It's a long translation. The secondary process of association with Maya is described. Rama Devi, the spiritual chit potency, beloved consort of the Supreme Lord, is the regulatrix of all entities. The divine plenary portion of Krishna creates the mundane world. He's talking about Mahavishnu. At creation, there appears a divine halo of the nature of his own subjective portion, Swangsha. This halo is divine Shambhu, the masculine symbol or manifested emblem of the Supreme Lord. This halo is the dim twilight reflection of the supreme eternal effulgence. Talking about the glance of Mahavishnu at Maya. This masculine symbol is the subjective portion of divinity who functions as progenitor of the mundane world. The Shambhu is the progenitor. He provides the ingredients into Maya, into the chamber of Maya by which all the ingredients by which all matter, all the material manifestation, the universes are produced. This masculine symbol is the subjective portion. Okay, I read that. The conceiving potency in regard to mundane creation makes her appearance out of the supreme regulatrix. The supreme regulatrix is Rama Devi, who's the consort of Mahavishnu, and that is Maya. She is Maya, the limited, non-absolute apara potency, the symbol of mundane feminine productivity. The intercourse of these two brings forth the faculty of perverted cognition, the reflection of the seed of the procreative desire of the Supreme Lord. So I'll read that last sentence because that's the most important in this discussion here. The intercourse of these two brings forth the faculty of perverted cognition, the reflection of the seed of the procreative desire of the Supreme Lord. So as I mentioned, this is our own desires, sex desire, enjoyment desire, is a reflection of Krishna's desire. We are made in the image of God. We have in infinitesimally small proportions the qualities of God. So it's reflected in the form of a perverted cognition in the bodily concept of life. Instead of love of God, it is manifested as sex desire. That's the bottom line. Purport. Sankarshan, possessed of created desire, is the subjective portion of Krishna taking the initiative in bringing about the birth of the mundane world. Lying in the causal water as the primal Purush avatar, he casts his glance towards Maya, the limited potency. Such glance is the efficient cause of the mundane creation. Shambhu, the symbol of masculine mundane procreation, is the dim halo of this reflected effulgence. It is this symbol which is applied to the organ of generation of Maya, the shadow of Rama, or the divine potency. The first phase of the appearance of the mundane desire created by Mahavishnu is called the seminal principle of Mahat, or the perverted cognitive faculty. It is this which is identical with the mental principle ripe for procreative activity. The conception underlying it is that it is the will of the Purusha who creates by using the efficient and material principles. Efficiency is Maya, or the productive feminine organ. The material principle is Shambhu, or the procreative masculine organ. Mahavishnu is Purusha, or the dominating divine person, wielding the will. Pradhan, or the substantive principle in the shape of mundane entities, is the material principle. He's talking about the ingredients of matter. Nature, embodying the accompanying principle, Adhara, is Maya. The principle of embodied will, bringing about the intercourse of the two, is the dominating divine portion, divine person, Purusha, subjective portion of Krishna, the manifester of the mundane world, Mahavishnu. All of these three are creators. The seed of amorous creative desire in Goloka, that's the origin, Radha and Krishna. The seed of amorous creative desire in Goloka is the embodiment of pure cognition. The seed of sex desire, to be found in this mundane world, is that of Kali, etc., who are the shadows of the divine potency. Can you bring me some water? The former, the spiritual, although it is the prototype of the latter, is located very far from it. The seed of the mundane sex desire is the perverted reflection in this mundane world of the seed of the original creative creative desire. The process of the appearance of Shambhu is recorded in the 10th and 15th shlokas. So there we have the science behind the material creation. Right? It's all right there. We don't have to go to psychology books. We don't have to go to college to learn about how this all happened and why we have desire. It's all right here in the Bhagavatam, in the Brahma Samhita. This is how it all started, where it all came from. These are the answers that people who are not trying to no longer be cats and dogs should inquire about. And when we get these answers, then we know what the goal of life is, to go back to the pure love of Goloka. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Sure, of course. Maharaj knows all the answers. He just wants to help me.
That's why I'm asking you.
More.
The only question that I have is the one which really causes people to not really know what to ask for. They don't know that there is a difference between spiritual consciousness and material consciousness. You've described very nicely material consciousness and the sense gratificatory aspects of it. But spiritual consciousness also has pleasure, but a different kind of pleasure. And that's very important that we get that information out there, that they don't have to take the lower type when there was a higher type, but you do have to work for the higher type. You have to earn it. You have to do what is necessary to achieve it. So, but then again, in anything in life, you have to, if it's valuable, if it has some use, you have to work for it to achieve it. So this is really something that we need to let people know, the difference between higher consciousness, which is basically the attempt on the part of the devotee to share or to give as much pleasure to the Supreme Lord as he possibly can. and always feel that it's not enough because God deserves so much that we cannot even conceive of it. So when we have this idea, this is what brings real happiness, because the Lord, seeing us wanting to give or wanting to offer, wanting to give him that pleasure or increase his pleasure, because he's always full of pleasure, wants to reciprocate. And the reciprocation comes to us in the form of our heart. And we begin to feel the blissfulness of pure Krishna consciousness. This is something which comes from God. It's not something you can manufacture. It's not something you can just do a mantra. But what is really important is that we understand that God is all-powerful, all-gracious, all-kind, all-sweet, all-loving, and has the power to give us that different consciousness that I was speaking at the very beginning, which we call Krishna consciousness, or love consciousness, or pure consciousness, which is the consciousness of the Supreme Lord. And if we have that, we have nothing more to want, because it's not something that disappears. It's always with us in greater or lesser degree. And that's really the greatness of Krishna consciousness. It's always there once you achieve it, assuming that you achieved it through proper means. That's all.
Thank you very much. Yeah, that's a very important point, Maharaj. Vishaya vinivartante niraharasya dehina rasa varjam rasopyasya param drishtva nivartate. We have to teach people how to get the higher taste. Yes.
So in purport, Srila Prabhupada said that his only actually reason for divorce is sense gratification, to or one person or another or both of them. So you cannot go around that. So only reason for divorce in grihastha lives is sense gratification. That's it. Yeah. Prabhupada said like that. Yeah. It's amazing.
And as soon as the sense gratification is finished, then there's divorce, Prabhupada says, right? As soon as the beauty is finished or some disagreement, then the relationship is finished. Because there's no center. What is the center? What is the center of life? If there's no Krishna consciousness in the center of life, serving Godhead, it's just my pleasure, my happiness. And then as soon as my happiness is curtailed or obstructed, or disagreement because of this or that, then the relationship ends. And then you try it with somebody else, and then you try it with somebody else, and it's endless. Then you change your body and do it again in a dog body or a mouse body or a cockroach body.
Vicious cycle.
Vicious cycle. We can't get it through our head, the vicious cycle. Any other questions? So thank you very much. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Yeah, good. That means I'm successful.